looking into your IMDb page, and I have to be honest with you, I have not seen any of your films.
Oh my gosh, I have to send you them. I need to get your address then. That's kind of crazy. Can I get an address? Do you want me to send you them?
Yeah, sure.
Okay, hold on, let me write down the address. Okay, hold on. Then go ahead.
Okay, it's 47.
Okay, cool. I'm gonna have these sent to you today.
Okay. Oh, that's awesome.
Okay, so they're on their way.
So I don't know much about you. There isn't a lot of information online about you. So how did you get into acting?
I started when I was in 5th grade or like 8 years old in Iowa. I was originally from a town called it's called Mason City, Iowa, but it was sort of the genesis of the Music Man. The town of River City. I don't know if you're familiar with that musical, but it was that's kind of where it's just a great hub for artists and performers, and the community was really instrumental in helping me feel safe and build a career, even as a kid, you know, even though I wasn't making money, it just an attitude of professionalism. Mm-hmm. The kids weren't treated any differently than the adults were when it came to theater or choir or anything like that. We were expected to really buckle down and perform and deliver, and that was a great community to help me out with pursuing the arts.
According to your IMDb page, you've been in about 13 films, entering about 13, I'd say about 13. What would you say is your favorite?
That's a really good question. I have to say each one is so different and unique. I don't really have a favorite. I love each one individually. I mean, I've been fortunate enough to work with amazing actors. I think the co-stars that I work with really make the films what they are, and I've had wonderful co-stars working with Noel Wiley and Michael Imperioli from The Sopranos, Judd Nelson, Justin Kirk. All those guys really provided an amazing experience for me, because they're fun to work with. They're nice. They're kind. They're passionate about what they do. They're experts, and so each of them kind of made each film really special in its own separate way. But I couldn't pinpoint a favorite, I don't think. Although my most recent film, Garner, Iowa, which is going to be released 2014. It's Garner, Iowa. I was able to go back and film in my hometown, and that film is very close to my heart, and was directed by a wonderful director, Ron Vignone, Vignone is how you spell his last name, he's Italian. So Ron directed this beautiful piece, which I haven't seen Nebraska yet, but I think it might be kind of along that sort of same flow of telling small town stories that don't have, you know, there's so many stories in the Midwest. I mean, people just, that's what you do. You get together on Sunday, and you go to your grandparents, and hang out, and you gossip, and you tell stories. And there's wonderful storytellers in the Midwest, and not always people to accumulate those and show them through film. So I took a local writer in Iowa, and he wrote this beautiful script about a bipolar woman who gets out of jail and helps her grandfather to stay on his land so so that he doesn't have to die in a nursing home and reconnects with her 13-year-old daughter. So that's probably the one I'm most passionate about right now.
That actually sounds like a movie that that could sweep Sundance.
Yes, from your mouth to God's ears. it really is beautiful, and it's one of those where the budget was incredibly small, and so everybody's just working from passion and, just from the heart. And so when you have a movie, you're lucky to have people working so lovingly on a film. You know, it's got to have some sort of pizzazz to it, you know, at the finish line. Just because everybody's soul and blood and sweat and tears are in it.
Yeah, true.
Okay, So I hope so. Yes.
So you mentioned that you worked with Noah Wiley and Michael Imperioli. Is there an actor or an actress that you wish you could work with next?
Yes. George Clooney. I would love to work with George Clooney. I think he's dry and ironic, and his sense of humor is so sly, very 1940s Clark Gable-esque type of guy. And I think it would be really interesting to work with him and his sort of subtle. His subtle little digs that he gets in there and subtle mockery, I think, of other people. I mean, he probably doesn't feel this way about anybody, but that's how he kind of comes across, and I find that exceptionally charming. I feel, like I said, I feel that's very Clark Gable, and I'm a 40s-ophile, so he would be somebody I would love to work with.
He recently did an AMA on Reddit. Which is like a Q&A between fans and himself. And he was answering questions.
Oh, wow.
People. Yeah, it was a pretty interesting read.
Oh, I'll have to check that out.
It was, I think, on...
He's just fascinating. I just kind of love what he's created in Hollywood and, the whole idea that he has a sort of boys club of films and filmmakers that are very proactive and really cover topics that are very relevant and politically, crossing the line on some of them. I find that very brave and wonderful. So I also like what he stands for as far as choices of art and subject matter.
Because I see you worked with Henry Jaglo for a number of films.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe calling up George Clooney on the next project with him?
I don't know if he would work for one of Henry's films. I don't know but you can call him up and tell him I'm ready to start working with him. I mean, it takes a certain kind of actor to work on Henry's films. They're scripted, and it's very freeing. Some people love it, and some people don't love it. It's just, he's an actor's director, and, we knock off scenes in 1 to 5 shots, and it's assembled in the editing room by Henry, and so he knows what he wants, and he's very good at sort of carving the whatever out of the elephant tusk, whatever Orson told him he was doing. Putting the pieces together, throwing them up in the air and then letting them float down and creating this sort of quilt of a film. So I don't know if George Clooney would work that way, but if he did, I would love that.
I see if I can try to get in contact with him.
You are my angel. Thank you.
Is there a director you would like to work with?
Darren Aronofsky, I would love to work with. I would also love to work with Woody Allen, just because I'm very interested in seeing his process in conjunction to Henry's. There's a lot of directors. Especially Coen Brothers, I would love to work. They're from Minneapolis, so mm-hmm. I'm, you know, all about the Midwest and love their weird, quirky, wonderful characters, and think I would be great for something like that. So those are my three.
Those are your three. Now, would you ever consider directing a piece of your own, or maybe entering?
I'm actually gearing up to. I directed a play out here 2 years ago, and it was great. And I've been directing here and there. I just finished directing a music video. Actually, this was just a fun project for me with Corey Feldman, where he and I do a parody of Ricky Ricardo and I Love Lucy. And then I have a script that I'm going to be directing in July 2014. I'm thinking it'll be finished in the next month, and I'll go into pre-production, because I think there's something, I really love directing, and I love being in control of every aspect creatively. I don't know. I mean, I assume most artists would like that, or some people don't prefer that, but I really prefer that, and looking over everything. It's going to be fun. It's going to be really fun.
That'll be awesome. I read on Wikipedia,
yeah.
I don't know how true it is, but it said you wrote a one-woman show in high school.
Yeah, in college, actually, yes. Yeah, in college, and that was my honors thesis project for theater.
Did you direct that also, or you just wrote and starred in it?
I wrote and starred in that. I didn't direct. I basically produced, wrote and starred in it. It was too much. I mean, for me to direct it, I had to have like objective eyes for it, and I wasn't brave enough to take that leap of, you know, cutting down every wall. And it was too personal. I mean, it was about my experiences growing up and sort of like going through puberty. So to remove a director from the project was too scary for me. I couldn't do it. But you know, that's what we do as artists, is we do it the best we can, and then we take a bigger leap and a bigger dive in the next project and risk more. So I hope to. I mean, I'm going to be directing soon, so I love trying everything. I love trying everything, but I won't. But there are some things that I don't know. I guess I'm much braver now that I'm in Los Angeles, because it's just like, you know, you just have to go for it. In college, you're a different person. You're young. It's, you know, you're a perfectionist. And once you move out here, once I moved out to Los Angeles, it was just kind of like you just hit the ground running the element of judgment on your own work, you have to remove that from yourself, because so many people out here are going to judge your work as it is. Mm-hmm. So I find it easier actually to do projects here than I did in like say college or high school, because it's just, you just have to do them. You can't question, you know, you can't sort of critique them down to the most minuscule part of everything. You know, you have to just do it, and there's no time for perfectionism. Mm-hmm. I mean, there always is time for perfectionism, but I know I'm already a perfectionist, so it lessens that sort of, I don't know, it's not one of my best qualities as being a perfectionist, so it kind of lessens that demon.
And the competition helps, right? I guess to help you inspire writing?
It does. It does and it doesn't. I don't know. It used to. It doesn't so much anymore. I'm more inspired by people and their work and their art, and so it's not so much about the competition as it is being in a group or in the same city as artists who are creating great things, and being constantly inspired by their risks and their storytelling and their work. So I feel really lucky to be in this town, and now I've changed from, I mean, of course I'm competitive, but I've kind of changed to trying to look at it and be inspired by their work versus I could do better than that, because every film that gets made is a miracle, you know, from a short film to a music video to whatever, and there's always something to learn from anybody's project, and so I try to just be more of a student, if you will, of everybody, of my competition, versus like a high stakes competitor against them. Just try to learn what I can from them.
How do you respond to critics?
I don't at all. I used to. I tried that when I like was my first film with Henry, and people can get nasty, 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 and I just you know, I asked my friends, like I asked Noah, what do you do about criticism? And he said, if you believe all the good ones, you have to believe all the bad ones. So just don't read any of them. And I had good advice from, like, Peter Bogdanovich said the same thing. I was saying, God, I'm, like, trying to download all I'm looking up all my reviews and trying to print them out, you know, because I thought that was something you were supposed to do, like, sort of, 5-year reviews, and he said, are you crazy? You don't download your reviews. I have 3 assistants that do that, and they only pick out the good ones for me, which is like 3 out of 100. And so I learned quickly not to read anything that people write about me, because it's really none of my, as Betty Davis said, it's none of my business anyway what people think of me and my art. It's none of my business what their thoughts are. It's just, it's my fortunate position to be able to be in a movie as it is, and that's, you know, love it or hate it, I give 100 and I give everything to whatever play or film I'm in. So if people love it, they love it. If they don't, they don't, and that's what art is. I don't love everything of everybody else's, so, and I'm not, you know, nobody should love everybody's work. Then, yeah. So I don't read them. I don't, basically, I just ignore. Unless they're, like, really, really good. I mean, in the last one, now I'm being, like, a total review whore, but the last, it does help. On the Rainmaker, we just ran The Rainmaker by Ann Richard Nash out here, and we ran it for a year, and I've done several plays, but the LA Times gave it critic's pick, and that made a huge difference in, unfortunately, like, what people and publications think does matter and affect the crowds that come. So, you know, that kind of, like, 4-star review from LA Times is I do like those reviews. They are good, and I read that, those. If they're good, they're not always good.
Fair share of criticism on the internet for certain things that I put up, like, you know, I created this, let's see how people like it, and sometimes it's encouraging, sometimes it's discouraging, but most of the time, for me, reading the negative reviews, it kind of just makes me want to, I guess, fix it.
Do better.
Yeah, exactly.
Mm-hmm.
Like, push myself harder.
Well, that's very brave of you. I admire that. I do. I really admire that. Some people, it works for them, and it pushes them to be more external and get more done. For me, it kind of internalizes. I kind of internalize the what's said, and it kind of I kind of retreat inside myself, so it's not, I think, to each his own probably with that, because I know my work, I will, like, hide inside of myself and get really small when I read bad reviews, so, and my work changes, so I try not to do it. But I like your attitude toward it. I really, really respect that.
It's not many of my friends or even my family members even know why I do it, but I just do it because I like to fuel off of the any type of energy that I get.
Yeah. Well, that's good. That's wonderful.
Thank you.
Mm-hmm.
What's your dream role? Whether it's a movie or a TV show, and it can be past or present, what role would you envision yourself playing?
I love representing women. I love biopics. Mm-hmm. Biopics, I never understand people pronounce so differently. But I love true stories about women, who, like, period pieces, anything that true stories about people who are brave or underdogs or whatnot. And there's so many beautiful women in history to play. And all of those stories fascinate me if they're written well, representing women who overcame some, who changed the world in some way or overcame some, something politically, like during war or something like that, but something that's truthful to a time and a period and a place. Because I love doing the research of characters as well and the research of society at that time, and kind of get off on, like, what was the socio-political sort of color of that time and that specific location and what was going on. I love learning about that, all that history stuff, and then trying to work the character into that.
Sounds like a, I guess, something like Aaron Brockovich, or maybe...
Yes, totally Aaron Brockovich. I also really liked the film that I think should have gotten more credit this year, which is The Invisible Woman, which was directed by Ralph Fiennes. It's a beautiful picture about... I don't know how true it was, but it was based on this woman who was a lover of Charles Dickens, and I loved it. I loved this woman. I loved the girl who played her. I loved Ralph Fiennes, was a genius at playing Charles Dickens, and it was just a lovely, lovely, lovely film. And so, yeah, those kind of stories, any time period, though. But I do love Aaron Brockovich, one of my favorite films.
The Invisible Woman. I haven't seen that one. Matter of fact, I think it was last week that I finally heard of it.
Yeah, I mean, it just didn't get any awards, or I don't know if it got awards or what awards or whatever, but it didn't get, I feel, these, I mean, if you can see it, because it's just beautiful and rich and amazing and so detailed, meticulously detailed in terms of time and frame and the story and stuff.
Matter of fact, Ray Fiennes' last movie, Coriolanus, sort of slipped under the radar as well.
Yeah, that's too bad. But, you know, the good thing is that maybe they'll have a more of a life once they go on demand, and, you know, they'll have, like, a March of the Penguins type tenacity, and everybody will see the film. Maybe that's what you hope for, right?
That's what everyone hopes for.
Yeah.
Your next movie coming out is The M-Word.
Mm-hmm.
What can we look forward to that?
It's funny as crap. It's so awesome. It's Michael Imperioli is fantastic in it. Corey Feldman is also in it. And Frances Fisher plays my mother. She's a genius comedian. Gregory Harrison is in it. And it's about menopause, men, and menstruation. And I think it's going to be a great mover and shaker of a subject that is very taboo in society, in our society, menopause, and have hope. I would hope women will go into the movie, laugh, not at the women, but laugh with the women and their trials and tribulations with menopause, and walk out and spark dialogue with them and their family members, and you know, because it's a subject that's not talked about, and women tend to feel ashamed who are going through it, because they feel whatever they feel, whether they feel their bodies are not useful anymore, or because they're not reproducing anymore, or whatever they feel. I like the characters. I like films that impart something on the audience, where the audience can take away some sort of hope or new attitude or new outlook on life, more positive one. So it's comedy and it's uplifting.
Okay. Where can we find it?
It opens, we premiere it April 2nd out here, and we go to Houston Film Festival, World Fest Houston. And then it's going to be in theaters all over the country, in Lemley Theaters, shortly after that. So it'll be running this spring/summer.
Okay, great. That's awesome.
And I'm sending you in the package, I'm sending you a screener of it.
Okay.
Because we sent it out for Academy screeners and Academy consideration. So I'm sending you a screener, although it will have changed. You have to know the screener isn't like the best. It's not color timed as well as it could be, and we've changed the film since then, but not too much. You'll get the gist of it.
Okay, all right. So it's basically the rough cut.
Yeah. Okay. No, it's not a rough cut. It's more than a rough cut. It's still a polished. It's a polished product, but I mean, it's a polished version of the product. But then we change stuff.
Oh, okay, all right.
I think. I hope I'm getting it right.
Well, Tana, I would like to thank you for taking your time out to speak with me.
Thank you. Thank you so much. And I hope you stay dry out there. And I'm gonna send these movies over, and I hope you enjoy them.
Thank you very much.
This is Tana Frederick, and thanks for visiting Lazy Dog Films.